A few months ago, I told you about my first pregnancy, and I left off where my husband and I were driving home from our childbirth class, where we had been forced to watch scary films. And the first scary film was where a bad mom asked for pain medication, which one thing led to another, and she ended up with a dangerous and unnecessary C-section. And then the next film, good mom, gave birth at home naturally, but endured hours of excruciating pain. So I was left feeling pretty desperate, knowing that that this baby was going to come out one way or another, probably one of those two ways, and either way, it was just going to be awful, and there was just no way I could get out of it. And so, but I'm here to tell you that at about 8.5 months, my fear and most people's was replaced with just impatience. So, so tired of being kicked by tiny feet and just achy and sore and couldn't sleep and just longing to be alone in my own body, just me inside my skin. So we were given the due date of November 16th, and like a lot of first-time parents, we believed in the due date, and we put it on the calendar, and we had nothing on the calendar after that due date. And November 16th came and went, and we just didn't know what to do with ourselves. Now, Matt was working, so he could go to work every day, but I had stopped working. So all I did was go into the baby's room over and over, rearranging the little socks and things. And days went by, and now we're approaching Thanksgiving. And we lived up in Tacoma, about an hour from my sister and her family, and we always celebrated holidays with them. And that year, Thanksgiving was going to be held on an island, and we considered it, but the island had no hospital, and now I'm 10 days overdue. It had no hospital, and the ferry only ran twice on Thanksgiving, so it seemed too risky, so we decided we needed to just do our own little Thanksgiving, and the two of us had a great fun baking and cooking all day long. We made it all, the turkey and all the sides and the pies and everything, and then in the evening we sat down and we ate it, and I personally consumed just many platefuls of food. And then it was time for games, and we got out our board games, and we ended up playing Scrabble, which is a very important game in my family, but not in Matt's. And Matt had never played, and in fact, I had to explain the rules to him. So we sat down, and we were playing Scrabble, and we were about halfway through the game, and Matt put down a really lame word. He just made a lame play. And I said, well, why'd you put that word down? That's pretty lame. And he said, and I said, you're not going to get many points for it. And he said, well, I just like the word. And I said, that kind of thinking will get you nowhere. And both at the same time, we both glanced at the score sheet, and he was way ahead of me. So he had never played in his life. I'd been playing my whole life. I'd played hundreds of times, and he was beating me badly, and I had just insulted him. And so this struck us as so funny that we started laughing, really laughing hard and rolling on the floor crying. And that's all right for him. He could do whatever he wanted. But because he didn't have a human being and an entire Thanksgiving dinner inside him. And I was in agony, begging him to stop. He wasn't doing anything, but just begging him to stop, making me laugh. And then, so finally, we did stop laughing, and we went to bed. And just minutes after I fell asleep, I woke up again in a puddle. So the extreme laughter had caused my water to break. So we made the appropriate phone calls, and we grabbed our suitcases, which had been packed for weeks. And we got in the car and headed to the hospital, which is just a few minutes away. And as we parked the car, I was so excited with the thought that two people were going to go into the hospital, but three people were going to come out, get in that car, and drive home in a day or two. And this isn't a sad story. That is what, in fact, happened, but not yet. So we So we go into the hospital and go to the, we've already done the tour and everything. We go to the admitting desk, and a strange sort of narcissism came over me. Now, normally, I need quite a bit of attention. But that night, I really thought I was special. And as I waddled up to that desk and said, I'm going to have a baby, I actually expected that woman to say, oh my gosh, that's wonderful, and maybe give me a hug. But no, she didn't even look up, and she was kind of grumpy. And then she called somebody to bring a wheelchair, and he didn't make a fuss either. The people in the elevator didn't seem to notice or care that I was going to have a baby. And then we get to the maternity ward. Again, everyone's perfectly nonchalant, like this happens every day. And it was very disappointing. It was very disappointing. But so now the next 15 hours are kind of a blur. And there was some labor and some pain, none of it really extreme. And then at about 6 o'clock at night, it was determined that the baby's heart was doing something it shouldn't, that I needed a cesarean. And, of course, I remembered the first scary film, but I wasn't going to argue with these experts on this point. So Matt, if you've had a cesarean or if you've witnessed one, then you know how this goes. But see, we didn't know much about it. We'd seen that film, but it didn't show the whole process. So they got us ready. Everybody was wearing surgical garb, and then they roll me over, give me a pretty uncomfortable shot to the spine, roll me back over, wheel me into surgery, and then they drape this paper thing about here so I can't see what's going on down there. But I can see now there's a doctor involved. I can see the doctor, you know, with part of his face, and then the midwife and some nurses, and then Matt's standing over here next to me holding my hand. And now I can't feel anything down there. And the doctor says, this will take about 10 minutes. And I'm laying there, and I said, what? And he said, the baby will be out in about 10 minutes. And I said, no, 10 minutes? You're telling me the baby's going to be born in 10 minutes? You're saying you can perform major surgery. You can cut through all that tissue in 10 minutes. And I'm going on like this, just yammering on. Everyone's ignoring me. And then I hear a baby cry. And it's just the stereotypical cry you like in the movies. And I say, is that my baby? And one of the nurses says, well, whose baby did you think it would be? Who else's baby would it be? She's kind of exasperated, you know, with this dumb woman having a baby. And so then, in no time at all, the baby's, you know, in our arms, and he was very alert because he's basically 10 days old, and he's alert, and he's looking right into our eyes. And we were so overwhelmed with surprise and joy. It was just painful. And now that baby is now a college student in Montana. And next week he turns 20. And I just keep thinking, that's impossible. Thank you.